Friends, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for he is able to sympathize with our weakness. In every respect, he has been tempted just as we are, yet without sin. So let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Those are wonderful words from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, and we all say amen to that. A warm welcome to Scots Online this morning, whether on Zoom or Facebook Live, especially if this is your first time with us, and a special mention to those Queenslanders I spotted joining us a little earlier on. We're going to join in song now, or simply listen from home if you'd like.
Facebook Live.
Heavenly Love Abiding, we're being led by the Scots Choir, has recorded the big hymn sing last year. Let's sing. Thank you, choir. We're going to join in prayer now. Please pray with me. Lord God, glorious giver of life, we gather today again, humbled by your heavy hand of illness on our land, and so many living in fear, growing in distrust of government, fragmenting from one another, becoming angry and impatient, so many fearing vaccination and yet so often ignoring limits and rules imposed for the common good. Economic hardship pressing in around us as almost half our nation are again suffering the consequences of lockdown. And Father, beyond our borders, and especially in Indonesia, there is so much illness and sadness and loss of life. Father, today it is not so much for physical health we pray, as spiritual health. As we hear from your word this morning about that spiritual doctor who came not for the righteous, but for sinners like us. Turn our hearts to him, we pray, that we might seek that hope of life eternal, that we might look to your mercy afresh and grow as people of mercy ourselves, the people of faith, hope, and charity you call us to be, as followers of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray now in his name, in the words he taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Well, they say no news is good news, but in this case it's not so good, in that you know that just about everything in the real world is cancelled or postponed. Although this week is a great opportunity to join the Zoom prayer group with Letha and Louise and a few other regulars. You can link up with Zoom on Thursday, and the details are in the bulletin. Also, immediately after the service this morning, you might like to join in Zoom again with Melbourne's open house tour of Scots. And Rosemary, I don't know if you're ready for this or not, but I thought we might spotlight you to say a few words about that, if you are willing.
Yeah, thanks, Phil. Yeah, we've got a really exciting presentation, but we think it's exciting, at 12:30 for everybody. What we're planning is perhaps just to curtail the social hour just a little bit, so you can all come back at 12:30 for our presentation on the history and hidden secrets of Scots Church, and then a bit of a discussion and question and answer session. But we think it's going to be quite fun. So everyone, welcome, and come back at 12:30. Thanks, Phil. Okay.
Thanks, Rosemary. Now it's over to Letha for today's pastoral prayer, and that's going to be followed immediately by Judith with the reading from Matthew chapter 9. Thanks, Letha.
Let us join our hearts and minds in prayer. Let us pray. Glorious and most merciful God, we praise and give thanks to you that God is love. We thank you that Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that he is our solid rock, our fortress, rescuer, shield, our salvation, strength, and place of safety. You are the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. We thank our Lord God that he doesn't fade away or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. His ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Eternal God, we worship you and give you thanks for the salvation, the forgiveness of sins, and the gift of the Holy Spirit given to those who have faith in you, faith that believes in Christ's life, death, and resurrection, faith that believes he is ascended to heaven and will come again. Lord God, although we cannot worship you in church today, but we are blessed with your presence through our online service this morning, and thank you for the gift of the internet and those blessed with the knowledge of information technology. We thank Monty and the team, and we are very grateful for their wonderful job. May God bless them abundantly. God of the universe, we bring our prayers before you. We pray for a safe and quick rollout of vaccines and the containment of Delta variant in our country. We pray for a decrease in the new cases in New South Wales, Victoria, and across the world. May your people be blessed with patience, strength, hope, and full focus on you. May their faith in Christ Jesus grow stronger each day, that with Christ, nothing is impossible. Loving God, give us the grace to hear your voice and the strength to continue working for your kingdom in this time of pandemic. We pray, loving God, that you would guide and strengthen our leaders and the world leaders to work together side by side, to seek the solution in stopping the ferocious Delta variant from spreading out of control. May your grace and wisdom fill their hearts to seek you, your wisdom and your will. Unite them, O God, and let them and us be united in the spirit of your peace and be able to support and encourage one another with open hearts and revive your church with renewed commitment in answer to your call, that your people may be instruments of your love and grace. May the pandemic act instrumentally in helping people to realize that they need God. We are all need God. And may more and more souls come to Jesus and be saved. We pray for the safety of the frontline workers, doctors and nurses, and be protector and shield for them, their families and their future. We pray for God's healing hand to our brothers and sisters who have contracted and are suffering due to the coronavirus disease. And we remember also those who suffer violence and injustice. We pray for our friends and families in our church community who are currently experiencing illness. May they be blessed with Christ's healing touch and strength. We ask for strength, comfort, and peace for our dear friend Shirley Agar, who mourns the passing of her husband Ian. May Ian rest in peace in the loving arms of Jesus, the resurrection and the life. And finally, we pray for the victims of flash floods in Europe, China, India, and elsewhere. May they believe that the creator of the heavens and earth is their strength and refuge, restorer and comforter. We ask these things in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Amen.
Thank you.
Well, friends, if you're watching online today, either on Zoom or on Facebook, and you're not a person who normally finds yourself in church, I want to say welcome. It is interesting, over lockdown, lots of churches are noticing that all kinds of people are taking the opportunity to take a look at church without actually having to turn up in person, which is an unexpected bonus. And I do want to say at the outset this morning to any of you who have somehow been alienated by church in the past, or hurt by church, or sceptical, disappointed by what you've seen or experienced of church, you are far from alone. An Anglican colleague of mine in a regional diocese in New South Wales says these days there are no children or youth activities in the whole region, not just in the churches, but anywhere. No scouts, no boys' brigade, no church kids' clubs or youth groups. Because for years, an Anglican clergyman had been organising a paedophile ring that involved lawyers and police and politicians and other high-level priests, all acting with impunity. And now nobody in that community can be trusted, especially not the church. So again, can I say to you this morning, if you're online as our guest today, or even if you're a sceptical regular at Scott's, the one thing I'm asking you to do this morning is to come back with me for a moment, not back to religion, but to the words of the real Jesus, and to hear some of the best things he ever said. This is part two in an occasional series where we're just cherry picking some of the surprisingly good things that Jesus said that have maybe over the years just been ignored or else not put into practice. It was, I think, Gandhi who said, "It's not that Christianity has been tried and found wanting, it's that it hasn't really been tried at all." So I invite you this morning to listen to Jesus for yourself and to revisit with me the Bible passage that Judith just read. And just ask yourself, in the context of today, where you think the real Jesus would fit. If you're looking at it in a Bible or on your service outline, you'll see, well, you won't see it in your service outline, you'll need a real Bible for this, but you'll see that it follows on immediately after Jesus has just told a paralyzed man that his sins were forgiven and that he could walk again. And it's happened in a way that's left everyone astonished, which is actually the passage we looked at last time in this occasional series. And so now Jesus moves on foot, out along the main road, and he sees a man named Matthew, who's one of those people who, when you see them at work, you probably don't even notice. I mean, a nuisance maybe more than a person. He's in a booth by the side of the road collecting tolls. He's a tax collector. One of our dear old friends back at our previous church was, in his working life, the deputy commissioner of taxation. And I think it always made him slightly uncomfortable when we came to passages like this, because in the time of Jesus, tax collectors like Matthew were despised for collaborating with the occupying Roman forces and profiting from it. In short, Matthew is a sellout. He's a traitor, a profiteer. Matthew's only Facebook friend is his mum. In fact, I think she's on the verge of unfriending him too. Now look, if you're a wannabe Messiah trying to build a following, Matthew is not the type you'd be seen dead with. And yet Jesus says to Matthew in his toll collector's booth, "Follow me, join me." And Matthew, we're told in verse 9, Matthew without delay gets up and follows Jesus, which at this point in the story, as Matthew tells it, is as near as you'll get to a definition of what it means to be what we now call a Christian. Jesus says, "Follow," and no matter what you were, you hear the authority in his voice and you take him so seriously that you just drop what you're doing and you join him straight away, as Matthew does. And you'll notice, interestingly, the next thing you find is not a church service with robes and vestments, but a dinner party. It's not a dinner party with the kind of proper people you'd be busting to be seen with, but the opposite. So it turns out I exaggerated. Matthew actually does have some friends. He's got plenty of friends. It's just that they're all the wrong kind of people. Are the tax collectors just as unpopular as he is? The kind of people generically back then who were labelled as sinners, people who didn't quite measure up to standard, people who didn't quite fit, people you wouldn't be seen dead with because they were from the wrong school or the wrong side of town or they've got the wrong kind of job or the wrong kind of parents. Whatever they were, they certainly weren't the kind of people you would consider as religious or righteous or expect to see in church. Which is why the Pharisees in verse 11, who are just the opposite of that, can't believe their eyes. The Pharisees, you see, are rigorous. They will give 10% of everything, including the herbs growing in the little pots on their kitchen windowsill. And yet somehow they are the opposite of generous. The Pharisees critique everyone. They'll pick them up on mistakes in how they wash, what they eat, what they wear. And yet they, it seems, are the opposite of righteous because they've got no mercy. They are hard of heart. Which you see is why they're not impressed when Jesus is hanging around with all the kinds of people who don't toe their line. People who don't ceremonially wash properly, people who don't pray properly, people who can't or don't or won't measure up. So in verse 11, when the Pharisees see who he's eating with, they ask the disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? I mean, doesn't he know who he's mixing with? The answer is, of course he knows. And look, this is coming up to one of the best things Jesus ever said. When he hears what they're saying, he says to them, don't you realise? It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. And here it comes, number two in my list of the best things Jesus ever said, Matthew 9, verse 12. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. I haven't come to be the cheer squad for the impressive. I'm the ambulance for the damaged. I'm the emergency room for the spiritually broken. Look again, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. Call me Dr. Jesus. In other words, it's not the Pharisees and their like that Jesus has come for, but the opposite, the kind of people who know that they don't measure up. Kind of people, they know that there is something profoundly wrong with the human condition that can't be fixed with just a few ritual sacrifices. It needs a change of heart. I remember our friend Jane telling us when our kids were small, they had a pet guinea pig. This is a sad story. Prepare yourself. One morning, one of their girls came running in from the backyard and asks Jane for a Band-Aid. Jane says, what for? The little girl says, I need it for the guinea pig. He's broken. Jane went out and saw the guinea pig had literally been chewed in half by a goanna. There are two pieces of guinea pig on the lawn. Jane says, sorry, sweetie, this is going to take a lot more than a Band-Aid. And Brianna says, oh, that's okay, Mum. Dad will fix it when he comes home. Oh, but you see, some things take more than a Band-Aid. It's not just a quick fix, the human condition. Look, if you want examples from even the news just in the last few months, the two richest men in the world, Bill Gates and that guy who just went up in his rocket, Jeff Bezos from Amazon. Rich, powerful, smart. You know, they can't even keep a promise to their wives, either of them. Some things take more than a Band-Aid. The human heart takes more than just a bit of religion, more than just a few more animal sacrifices, more than just making sure you do everything in the right order and the right way and keep the right rules. It was a heart problem. That's the Pharisees. And you see, the trouble is they don't think they have a problem at all. For those who see the problem, those who acknowledge it, those are the people Jesus has come for. Those are the people he is partying with at Matthew's house, scandalous or not. Now, you might be asking yourself, you see, why does this rate as one of the best things Jesus ever said? Do you reckon it is? I think it's fantastic because it means, you see, people like you and I qualify simply because Jesus came for ordinary and invites ordinary, sinful people like us into a kingdom not of pretense, but of grace, mercy, and peace that runs all the way down to the heart. Transformed heart by the Spirit. Jesus is tired of Pharisee games, tired of the self-proclaimed, self-satisfied, righteous in their own eyes types who love looking down at everyone else. Which means, see, if you're tired of people like that too, not sure perhaps you could ever be religious enough, not sure you could ever be righteous enough, all you need to do is be ready to come to him with your awkward, messed up life. There's room even for you. Dr. Jesus. With the promise that he's not going to leave us like that, but he'll start changing us from the inside out. Later on in Matthew's gospel, Jesus dishes out a set of seven woes on the Pharisees, seven condemnations like this one. He says to them, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you're full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee," he says, "first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside also will be clean." The problem is, you see, the inside. This is the department of internal medicine that Dr. Jesus works in, not cosmetic surgery. It's the department of heart change, because dressing up the externals never produced a merciful heart. Oddly, never does. Not with the Pharisees back then, not with our own best efforts to be impressive or religious today, not with you, not with me. Just take a moment to imagine the alternative. What if we lived in a world where Jesus came and he said the exact opposite? He said, I haven't come to call sinners, but the righteous. If you've ever failed, I'm not here for you. If you've ever put a foot wrong, then you can forget it. If you haven't been morally pure every day of your life, you're out of luck. If you are not better than everybody else, then I'm not here for you. Only the cream of the city can apply. And even then, I'm going to be fussy. Imagine if Jesus had said that. So a gospel like that is not good news at all. But the great news is that is not what he says. Maybe you've been coming to Scott's every Sunday for the last 50 years, come rain, hail or shine, and you think somehow that's enough. That solves the problem. Or maybe, like I said, this morning's your first time. Maybe you have messed up just about everything you've put your hand to. And in your heart, you're so ashamed. See, either way, remember, Jesus says, "I haven't come for the impressively religious, but for sinners who know they've got a problem. I haven't come for the self-righteous Pharisees, for those who are religious and think they're righteous, but for the sick at heart, Dr. Jesus." Maybe this morning is a good time to do an internal audit, run some quick diagnostics, because maybe you've just been putting on a show, just like the Pharisees. Jesus calls them hypocrites, which literally in the Greek is a word that means mask wearers. Maybe that's been you. The great news is Jesus says, you don't need to put on a show. I am here to help. So listen to his words one more time. I haven't come to call the righteous. The righteous already, the self-righteous and religious. But sinners. I guess if we acted more as if the church was a hospital for sinners, people maybe wouldn't be quite so cynical. I guess if we thought of ourselves more as sinners who have found a saviour, we might come across as different to the outside world, a little bit humbler maybe, a little bit more careful about claiming the high moral ground, a little bit more ready to be vulnerable, a little less arrogant. Because so often, that's exactly how we're seen to be, isn't it? Let's change that and start by making sure we don't miss one of the best things Jesus ever said. I haven't come to call the righteous but sinners. That's us. I'm Dr. Jesus. Join the queue. I'm here to help. Now, you know, that is exactly what we mean every time we sing the hymn, Amazing Grace. The grace that saves wretches, that finds the lost, that opens the eyes of the blind. We're going to join in singing that together now. Please join in. Be to God, who by his mighty power at work is able to do far more than we dare to ask or even dream of, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, do stay around for a social chat with Rosemary. That's going to follow the service right now. That will wind up maybe a little earlier than usual. Then we invite you back for the Melbourne Open House tour and chat about our building. We're hoping lots of the community join us for that as well. Thanks for being with us this morning, and see you next week, hopefully in person, but otherwise right here in the same way. See you then. Good morning.